Episode 4, how meditation will help you release those limiting beliefs.
You have to live the life you want to live because, you know, it can be cut short. It can, you might not make it to retirement. You might not be able to, you know, if you wait and work your whole life till retirement, you might not be able to get to do all the things you wanted to do.
Meditation for the modern day superwoman. The place where you will begin to step more into yourself, where you will learn tools to be more mindful and to let go of that weight on your shoulders. A place for you to shut out all that noise, release all of that stress, and let go of all those expectations. Whether you're a working woman, a mom, an entrepreneur, a free spirit, or any beautiful combo of these things, you are a superwoman in your own way. This is a place to get real and a place to be authentic, to learn how to use meditation to deal with real problems and to feel empowered along the way. So, Superwoman, take some deep breaths, let go, and take this time to allow yourself to become more you as we get into this episode. This podcast was created for you by I Meditate the World, and I'm your host, Amy Dornbreck. I'm an artist, an animal activist, a spiritual seeker, a mom, a business owner, and most importantly, I'm an advocate for women feeling empowered to become more of themselves. To download your free Superwoman meditation on the theme of letting go, head to imeditatetheworld.com. This is episode number 4, how meditation can help you to let go of those limiting beliefs. And I'm going to be interviewing yoga teacher and meditation and breathwork teacher, Karen Laporte. In this episode, I'm going to be talking to Karen about her life in the fashion industry and the limiting beliefs that she held on to that kept her from fully following her dreams. She has a really interesting journey to share with us about how she's stepped in and out of the fashion industry, how she has stepped in and out of being her own boss. And I'm going to get her to touch on how her limiting beliefs have held her back in certain instances in her life and how she's gotten to a point now where she doesn't let them run her life. And I'm going to ask her to share with us some tools on how we can recognize those doubts or limiting beliefs that creep into our mind and ways that we can begin to let them go. So, hi, Karen. Welcome. And thank you so much for being here with us today. And I really appreciate the way you're so honest and authentic in the way that you present yourself on social media and in the things that you write in your blogs. And I'm really excited for our listeners to hear about your journey today. And you know, I just have so many things I actually want to ask you about, from the cool way that you integrate yoga and knitting and the way that you view embracing change and just the journey that you've been on. But we should start with you introducing yourself and maybe telling us a little bit about your journey and what led you to where you are right now.
Great. Thank you, Amy, for having me here. I'm really excited about this. Where do I start on how I got here? I don't know. I think it really came from just starting to listen to my heart and what I really wanted to do with my life. So I teach yoga and meditation and breath work, but I'm not someone who I thought would ever be in that path. So I have a fashion design background. I've worked in the fashion industry for years. I still do things fashion related. I own a vintage clothing store. I knit and crochet. I teach knitting and crochet and sewing. I make some of my own clothes. So I'm still connected in that world, but on my own terms. And what really led me to kind of get to this point was really my yoga practice, just going to classes and wanting to learn more and more about it. And that led me to becoming a yoga teacher and then realizing how much it has just helped me in my life to be able to live authentically and to be able to do things that I really want to do.
Mm-hmm. So how do you think you got to that point where you were able to realize what your heart really wanted and that you didn't want to be in the corporate world anymore?
Yeah. So I've had a lot of starts and stops with working for myself. So I think there was always something inside me bubbling up that really wanted to, you know, be able to, you know, take hold of the reins and, you know, do work that I wanted to do and work for myself. There was always something there. So I think if I go way back to about in 1994, my mother passed away and I was a senior at Parsons studying fashion design. I was 22. And that is when I kind of really realized, you have to live the life you want to live because, you know, it can be cut short. You might not make it to retirement. You might not be able to, you know, if you wait and work your whole life till retirement, you might not be able to get to do all the things you wanted to do. So at that moment in time, when I graduated school, we had to put together a portfolio and a resume and all those kinds of things at the end of our semester. And, you know, I did those things to get my requirements, but I didn't submit anything to any companies. I left New York City and I traveled and I would just work odd jobs and save up money and travel. And I was living from my heart at that moment. And I was dealing with a lot of grief and that's how I dealt with it. But then I think things, you know, started, you know, kind of entering my mind again about, you know, oh, what am I supposed to be doing? You know, so I should be getting a job. I should be doing, you know, following this career path and doing these things. So then I went back, I came back to New York and I explored those options and I got a job in the fashion industry and I did that for a while. And then, you know, the voice inside me, the soul started coming up again saying like, hey, like you want to work for yourself. And as a designer, most people want to design for themselves. That's really natural. And I really wanted my own little shop. Mm-hmm. And I did that. And I opened up a little shop in Brooklyn. And then after a few years, I think I was not really fully committing myself. There was a part of me that felt like maybe I was, you know, kind of doing the wrong thing or not meant for it. Or I just had a lot of doubt and a lot of negativity surrounding me with that. And so I ended up going back into the corporate world after I closed my shop. And that was like 2008, 2010. In those 2 years, I had a hand injury where I lost the use of my right hand. And so I felt like I needed, you know, health insurance and I needed all these benefits to like get back on track and pay off any kind of business debt I had and all these things. And so I started just, you know, believing those beliefs that keep a lot of people trapped into a corporate job and not going after their dreams. And so I did a corporate job for 6 years. And then the soul, the heart, you know, whatever you want to call it, started bubbling up again. And during all this time, I was doing, over the course of all those years, I was going to yoga classes here and there. And I had started out, you know, just going to yoga because I liked it as a form of exercise. I liked stretching. I'm not super athletic. You know, I don't jog. I don't do a lot of, I don't have a dance history or a gymnast history or anything like that. But for me, that was the kind of exercise I liked. And I quickly started seeing the benefits of it expanding beyond my physicalness, beyond, you know, helping my posture, beyond things like that. It helped me with my grief. It helped me, you know, start to connect with myself in ways I really couldn't understand the way I do now that I've studied it. And so I was, you know, doing those yoga classes here and there. And after my hand injury, while I was at this my last corporate job that I had made a really strong connection with practicing daily because I was in occupational therapy for my hand. And I had to, you know, exercise my hand every day to get the use of my hand back. So I made this really strong connection of how, if you go to a yoga practice, and you do a little bit every day, how that can make you stronger. Mm-hmm. So I amplified my yoga practice as soon as I could start doing yoga again, which took 3 years after my hand surgery to be able to do a downward dog. Once I was able to do that, I started going more on a regular basis and really committing to it the way I did to my occupational therapy. And then, of course, the benefits from going to yoga class and from really taking time to turn off my phone. My corporate job was like, you know, emails around the clock. And so I was really able to just shut it off for an hour, be in a warm and welcoming environment, and really being able to do something for myself, as opposed to, you know, when you're managing people, you know, you're constantly giving out and outputting. So that's when I really was like able to start listening to myself. Yeah. And, you know, as I was saying before, the kind of whispers start coming up again to follow your heart and to do the things you want to do and have that dedication to it. So when I was starting to think about leaving my corporate job, I had missed having my own store, and I really wanted to go back to having my own store again, this time online, and where I sell my vintage and some handmade items. And, you know, I was doing a little bit on the side, and I was, you know, starting to get to a point where I was really ready to commit myself back to that dream that I had and to really be able to do it in a positive way and to do it in a way with self-care. And I really love teaching. One of the things I did at my corporate job was training new hires and training managers. So I loved that component of that job, and I didn't want to lose that. And so I just started, you know, this whisper came into my mind just being like, you know, teach yoga. And, you know, I almost laughed at myself first because I never thought that that would be something I would do. But I ended up just signing up for the training. I was still at my corporate job, and I did it on weekends. It was a weekend program for like 5 months. And it was just kind of like an out of body experience when I signed up for it. I was just like, I'm going to do it. And if I have a job where I'm working from home and I'm working online, I want to still be with people. I still want to contribute to people in person, and teaching is a great way to do that. So that was what I thought I could do simultaneously. And so then while I was in that training, I was really flipping back and forth between leaving my corporate job or staying, and, you know, debating in my head between, you know, oh, you have benefits in healthcare, and, you know, or you have to go out and you have to figure it out and get it yourself and make it happen. And those, you know, debate, I was going back and forth. And because of the intensity of a yoga teacher training, it's a very transformative experience. And I was able to just realize that I wasn't happy in the job that I had because of the lifestyle. And it was, I also realized that I was having, you know, my body was reacting to it in a way where I was feeling sick a lot at work, and I had digestive problems. And I thought it was, you know, for years, I thought it was the food I was eating or this and that and all these other things. And, you know, all the medical tests would come up with nothing. And so I realized that it was really, my body was, you know, in fight or flight response because I was living a life I didn't want to live. And then I was able, you know, from there to take that leap. So that was a really long answer, but it kind of expanded a lot of years. It was kind of a gradual process of really just going, flipping back and forth until I finally got to a point where I was like, okay, like we have to decide.
Yeah, for sure. No, and I love that. I love that it's a different journey for you than others. And you said something on your website that for you, well, yoga has been a personal journey, and so is your life, you know, and it's not a competition. And and I really love that you were able to still get to where you are today and where you were obviously meant to be, but you just did it in a different way. Whereas this lady I was interviewing the other day, she literally was driving to work. And she said she looked over at the ocean and on her way to work, looked over and decided, I'm quitting today. Just in that moment, she just had this moment, you know, and I know for a lot of us, our journeys are quite different, and those things creep in. Like, you talk a lot about limiting beliefs and how not everything that we think is true. And I think those things creep in, like as soon as you start to make a decision that you're going to make this change, or you're going to take a little bit of a leap of faith by listening to your heart, well, those things that creep into your head, they can be overpowering. And also these changes are scary, right? Because they're out of our comfort zone. So listening to those little voices is sometimes the easy thing to do.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you want to do the right thing.
Yeah.
You want to do the right thing, and you want to feel that you're being responsible. Mm-hmm. You know? So I think when those voices creep in, you know, it's like you are kind of, you're battling with that in, you know, certain ways. There have been times when, you know, where I really was like, absolutely, I'm doing this thing. And then quitting your job and doing, you know, the project that you want to do. But then you have to maintain that. So when I first did it, when I first left like the fashion, you know, the fashion industry, let's say, and I opened up my own store, you know, I had that same thing where I was like, yep, I'm going. I'm more of a little bit of a planner, and like, I'll, you know, be like, okay, I need to save up some money first. I wish I could just be, you know, okay, today's the day and that's it. But, I have that planning side of me, but I did that before, but then I didn't have the tools to maintain it. Mm-hmm. And so I think I didn't have the tools to be able to deal with all the creeping thoughts that do come back. Like you can make that decision. And then it's like, what do you do with it after that as well? And so I think that for me is where a little more life experience and a lot more training and gaining the tools and being able to recognize thoughts that come in that might not be the best for me really has helped me this time. And being able to find that true faith and courage is very different than gumption. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, that for me has been a little bit of a difference in why we can start and we can stop many times, and we can come back and analyze, okay, well, what do I not want to do this time, and what worked for me last time, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And that is really okay. And sometimes, you know, we do also have to survive and do the things we need to get by. So, you know, dipping your foot back in and being like, okay, let me come out of this for a little while and, you know, save up or reconnect, take time to reconnect with myself and really, really decide what I want is important too. And so I think for me, that's where the yoga and the meditation and my breathwork practice has really helped me this time. Cause I didn't have that in the times before when I was trying to work for myself and do those things. And I would go to a yoga class here and there, but it wasn't really the same. And so now with the tools I have, and that's why I talk about it a lot. And I decided to incorporate that into my site and into the things that I write about, is that it's these tools are what can help you down the line. Mm-hmm. And it's not so much that helped me. Yeah, they helped me make this decision this time, but I think they are also helping me continue and put those limiting beliefs aside.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That makes sense. And I know that when you meditate and you get in touch with yourself, it's a lot easier to, first of all, listen to those whispers and get in touch with what you really want. But then, yeah, on the flip side, it's also essential for, like you said, maintaining and being able to handle and recognize those limiting beliefs that come up. Because I feel like it's really easy to stand up and shout at the top of the mountain, I quit my job, or I'm doing this and I'm following my dream. It's really easy to speak these loud truths. But then the problem is those little whispers that come in that we may not even recognize.
Right.
Kind of break us down. And so maybe, do you want to share with us a little bit about your meditation practice or how that can help with, you know, just setting up that toolbox for yourself, and just how maybe meditation can help our listeners to begin to let go of these limiting beliefs and let go of these things that might be blocking them from following their dreams or getting where they want to be in life?
Yeah, I'd love to. I think limiting beliefs are things that we carry with us. They might have developed, they might be thoughts we've had since we were children, since we were, you know, a young teenager, or anything that might have helped us when we were that age or helped us get through something. But now we might not need them anymore, but our mind goes back to them. We still rely on them. We still fall back on them. And you can recognize them in really, you know, simple terms, you know, like coming from a fashion background and working in fashion for years and in retail and being, you know, with women in a fitting room and being like, oh, well, you know, I'm too old for that, to wear that. I can't wear that. You know, and just kind of falling back on, that's a limiting belief, you know. Yeah. Well, if you like it, if you think it looks good on you, you can wear it. you know, you don't have to say you're too old. You don't have to say, you know, that's for someone else, unless you really don't like it, you know, but then you should be saying, I just don't like it. So, you know, those are things that I would hear all the time from customers, from people. And also, you know, things I would tell myself too. So those are like, that's a simple one. Or, you know, I used to tell myself that I wasn't a writer. I have three sisters, one of whom chose the writing path, and she was the writer in the family. So I was not, you know, I needed to be something different. You know, I'm the designer. I went into that, and we label ourselves, right? So but wait a minute, I'm writing blog posts. I am a writer, you know, and I still have to struggle to tell myself that. So those are limiting beliefs that we tell ourselves, because it's a story that you have told yourself your whole life. Mm-hmm. You know, why there's room for two, there's room for five, there's room for everyone to be a writer if they wanted to be. There's room for everyone, you know. So those are the, you know, kind of the basic ones that you can start to recognize in yourself. And then, you know, then it might start to go a little bit deeper. But once you start to just recognize when things creep up, you know, like, you know, oh, I need this job because I need the healthcare. All right. Yes, you do need healthcare. And it's great that you have a job. It's great that you have a job that provides it. But explore other ways that you might be able to get it. And don't limit yourself into staying somewhere you don't want to be. You know, it's a crutch. It can be used as a crutch. So with my meditation practice, I've, you know, really been able to let go of some of those things, and to be able to recognize when they pop up in my head and say, why are you limiting? Have a dialogue with myself and say, why are you limiting yourself? I basically have found that breath work has really been one of the things that I use that has really been able for me to connect with myself the fastest, and to give myself courage, to give myself love, and to be able to recognize those beliefs a little bit faster and kind of get rid of them. And then I do a daily meditation with a mantra. I do like just a Japamala meditation, and I have a certain mantra that I do on that, and I do that pretty much daily. And then even, you know, my yoga movements and taking time to do that can also help. And it just helps open up that energy in you so you can start to listen to yourself more. And if you start with the basic ones, if you just start noticing the really easy ones, then the harder, the more difficult ones will start to become more audible. Mm-hmm. So it really just, that in itself is part of the practice. So just taking time to connect to yourself and taking time to meditate, whichever method is best for you, is a way to just start listening to those things and to start being able to question why you are limiting yourself. Is it true? Do you need that right now? Is it true for only right now? And maybe later it can change. And you can find a way to make a change. Or is it, who cares how old you are? Wear the miniskirt, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, and things like that. And it's really about, you know, just finding ways to bring more joy into your life mm-hmm. at the end of the day. So I do a combination of those three, you know, meditation or those three practices. So your mantra meditation, the breath work meditation, and then, you know, yoga movement and restorative.
So what do you do for your mantra meditation? Can you explain it a little bit for us?
Yeah. So I do, usually when I first get up in the morning, after I feed the cat, I will sit down and just, you know, I sit, I have a little, you know, area that I sit at, and I do, with meditation with beads. So I basically, there's 104 times that you go around and you repeat your mantra. And so you use the beads to help you count that you've done it 104 times. Mm-hmm. And so I just repeat my mantra and just kind of take time to be quiet within my mind, repeating this phrase. And I think when you repeat something, you know, something positive, you're going to invite more of that energy within you. So where your mind goes, energy flows, right? So, the idea is that if you're repeating it, you will start to embody that. You know, it's hard in the beginning to start out, and different days are going to vary. But if you stick with it, it will then become something that you make sure you do, that your day, you know, it becomes part of your morning routine. It becomes part of your routine, and you want to make sure that you get it in there. And so, and then you're just starting your day with, you know, a positive energy and bringing that throughout your day. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm done, when I finish the 104 repetitions, then I just set a little intention for my day, you know, and that can vary. It can be something like, you know, oh, I hope today is filled with a lot of laughter if I'm teaching a class, you know, or it can be, you know, something that you want to feel in your day. And I think that's really important. So just kind of setting that little intention.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's amazing how much it, over time, how much you then can't imagine not having it as part of your daily routine.
Mm-hmm. I totally get that. And I know at first for me with my meditation practice, it almost became a item I had to check off my to-do list. And I realized it wasn't just not what it was meant to be. So I kind of changed how I was doing my meditation. I kind of played around with different types until I found one that I really liked. And now it's not something I have to do because I have to check it off my list. I have to do it because then that makes me feel more me throughout the day. And I know I notice a big difference on those days that I don't take that time for me.
Right.
I notice the difference now. And now it's just, like you said, it's just part of what I do. It's part of me.
Right. It becomes like brushing your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, oh, you know, if you forgot to brush your teeth that day, you'd feel weird all day. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it becomes that same kind of feeling. It takes time and patience to get to that point. But I think like what you said, half the battle is really just finding the meditation format that works for you. And so, you know, I like to kind of explore different options and give my students different kinds of meditation techniques to try so that they can, you know, find one that works for them. And I mean, you could just, even if you just sat silently and just maybe, you know, didn't think about anything or just, you know, whatever popped in your head, let it come in and let it go out. That works too. And you know, I live in New York City and I ride the subway a lot. And so sometimes when I'm just on like a really long subway ride and I forgot my book, I will just do like a silent meditation like that, where I'm just like, let me just kind of slow down the thoughts about my to-do list and just kind of let thoughts come in and let them go out and not add on more thoughts on top of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that works too. So you can fit it in times of your day that you want, that works for you as well. It doesn't have to be first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
It could be before you go to sleep. It could be just thinking about things you're grateful for. You know, it doesn't have to be a huge, big change. So I think that's just important, is to know that I don't find that there's really a right or wrong way to do it. I think it's really about finding something that works for you. I knit as well, and I find that's a very meditative practice as well. So, you know, there's different things you can do.
Yeah. And I think for me, I actually started to meditate when I started painting without really knowing it. I just, like you said, it was very meditative and I felt very peaceful after. And now looking back, I think it's because I wasn't thinking about anything else. I was just in the moment. And
yeah, that's it. That is it. And yeah, I think I was, you know, meditative like that before I knew, you know, now that I've studied different like methods, I'm like, oh, well, I've been kind of doing this all along, you know, through, you know, knitting or sewing or, you know, going on a nature walk and sitting and just looking at the ocean. And, you know, there are ways that you're probably doing it already that, you know, you might not realize, mm-hmm. but it's important to take that time.
Well, that's the hardest thing, I think, mm-hmm. is, well, I know for me, for some reason, I know where I want to be and what I want to do, but it's taking those small little steps every day that you really have to commit to that are the hard thing. So like, for example, right now I'm having to go through physio for my hips. I'm having some hip mm-hmm. problems that I've been having for a few years. And now they're telling me that I have to do these in the past month. They've been telling me these exercises I need to do yeah. every day. Yeah. And for some reason, fitting in those 20 minutes to do these exercises is like a big mission and, mm-hmm. and it's such a struggle. And I know my end goal, I want to have healthy and strong hips. So why can't yeah. I just do this every day? And in the beginning, it was like that for me too, with my meditation. And
yes.
And I think it's just like you said in the beginning, when you were talking about how you just committed to every day doing your yoga practice, and how I'm sure now looking back, those little steps that you just committed to do, like one thing you're going to change, one small thing you're going to change in your life, created yeah. a huge shift in your life eventually.
Right. I think it's a muscle like anything else, right? So the same thing with your hip I had with my hand when I lost use of my hand through this accident. And I was, you know, working really hard to get it back. And I was, you know, it was my right hand and I'm like, I need it. So I had to fight really hard for it, but I really made that connection with, you know, I had to do exercises every day, you know, in addition to going to the occupational therapy. And so, you know, that finding that discipline to do that, to me, the outcome that I had, I was like, okay, like you have to kind of do the same thing with your soul, you yeah. know? So I think it's the same kind of muscle that you have to work out. Or, you know, what happens, you know, I had to gain strength back in my whole arm because I couldn't use my hand. I wasn't really using my arm muscles. And so I lost a lot of strength. And if you don't use it, you lose it, right? So I think it's just kind of flexing that same muscle to take time for yourself and to listen to yourself and to connect with your inner being. Is it, you know, the more you do it, the more you're going to be able to hear. And then, you know, as in terms of those limiting beliefs and things that might be holding you back, you know, you'll start to be able to hear them and discern them more and,
yeah.
and be able to have that tool to, you know, say, hey, wait a minute, you know, thank you, brain, for protecting me. Mm. But I really need to do this right now and explore this and see what happens. Despite, yeah. you know, this, you know, thank you for throwing me the safety net and telling me that, you know, society is not built that way. You're not supposed to be doing this, but whatever, you know, I need to explore this and this is my chance to do it. And so you can start to have the tools to be able to then keep going.
Yeah, exactly. Then you're stronger. You're more in touch with yourself. And I think shifting into that belief that your spiritual and mental well-being is just as important as everything else, like the injury that you had to your hand, or if someone is having other health issues, we always take it so seriously, but we don't often take our spiritual self as mm-hmm. as seriously. And I think yeah. just shifting into that way of thinking is what makes all the difference.
Yeah. And it's okay to take a day off too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you also can't be super hard on yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like you were saying, it was a thing to check off on your list. It just became, you know, we don't want it to become another to-do item that is, you know, holding you down, but so it should be something that you enjoy and that is easy for you to do on a regular basis, that you feel like, oh, I really, you know, miss doing that. You know, if I haven't gone, you know, I might not do the physical aspect of yoga every day, but I'll do something connected with it every day, even if it's just reading something or learning more, you know, and then, and the meditation, of course, is part of a yoga practice, but you know, if I miss the physical thing, I'm not going to get upset with myself if my body was too tired that day, or if I was sick, or, you know, things like that. And I used to be like that a little bit more, you know, but now over time you have to be a little more, you know, loving of yourself to be like, it's okay. You can take a break. But eventually you will get to that part where you really miss doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I like that. Just be easy on yourself. And same with these limiting beliefs. I think like we have the tendency, or I know I do, to take things a little bit too seriously. And mm-hmm. we can really kind of get a little bit playful with them. Like when a limiting belief pops in and say, you know what? I don't know. I don't really think I'm buying into you today, or that's not true. Or
yeah. You know, joke with yourself and appreciate what, you know, the thoughts are trying to do for you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they come from deep down. They come from an area where in part of your life you didn't feel safe, and that was a way to make you feel safe, right?
Yeah.
So it's bubbling, you know, it comes up and it's going to keep coming up, and it's not, it's a practice. It's not something that, you know, you're one day going to be like, okay, you know, I don't have those thoughts anymore. I think it's a practice. I think it's something that, I think what the practice gives you is the ability to recognize them.
Yeah, for sure.
And to not believe that everything you think is true.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when you make that decision to make a change or follow your heart or pursue a dream, yeah, they're never out gone, but I'm very much in this beautiful place in my life, and I'm doing everything that I want to do, and everything feels just right. But every day I'm still having to, like, if you were to walk into my house, you would see I have post-it notes with different affirmations written down, and I do a certain meditation every day to let go of my limiting beliefs around money and abundance, mm-hmm. and about just feeling like what I'm doing is the right thing. Like, I work on it every day, but making those changes, it's not easy, but it's worth it. I think when you get in touch with, who am I really? What do I really want to do? I want to let go of everything that isn't actually me, everything that's maybe been imposed on me, or everything that I think I should be, and I'm just going to be me. I mean, it's worth it, but it's definitely work, and it's hard.
It's really hard. We've told ourselves the story of who we are for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so, you know, we've tried to define ourselves compared to other people. We try to figure out where our place is. And, you know, so I think it's hard to break that down and really connect with who you really are. And it's really hard. So, you know, I think when you do start letting it go, it's, you know, you will definitely be tested, and you will definitely go through things that will, you know, kind of test that. So you just, that's why you have to, it's, you just have to keep working at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So can I read a little section from your blog on embracing change?
Sure.
Okay. So I'm just going to read to you this blog post from Karen's website. It's KarenLaporteYoga.com, and she wrote a post on embracing change. I think about change a lot. I think about the ways I bring and have brought change into my life, and the way changes just happen. I think about my indecisions, the places where I am stuck, and the fear of unknown changes yet to come. I think about the what ifs. When will the next shoe drop? When I am facing making a decision that will bring about major change, I can linger in indecision for far too long. When do you hold on, and when do you let go? What are the pros and what are the cons? It took me months and months to make the decision to leave my corporate job. I analyzed and fantasized. I stayed in fear and polished my bravery. I had an inner battle between my soul and my brain. Eventually, my soul won. In the year since I've left, my world didn't crash and burn. Instead, life flowed like water finding a new path. I live with less. I can't do all the things I used to do when I had a stable paycheck. But I also lost the stress weight I gained. I feel and am healthier, and am by far way happier. Deepak Chopra says, If you obsess over whether you are making the right decision, you are basically assuming that the universe will reward you for one thing and punish you for another. The universe has no fixed agenda. Once you make any decision, it works around that decision. There is no right or wrong, only a series of possibilities that shift with each thought, feeling, and action that you experience. If this sounds too mystical, refer again to the body. Every significant vital sign, body temperature, heart rate, oxygen consumption, hormone level, brain activity, and so on, alters the moment you decide to do anything. Decisions are signals telling your body, mind, and environment to move in a certain direction. So I just love that. I love that post that you made, and I love how it just kind of takes away the fear of making a change or of shifting in a different way. It's everything's okay. Everything's always going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. That quote from Deepak Chopra, that was the one that really helped me make my decision. And my yoga teacher assistant that was in my training shared that with me.
Okay.
Because I was going back and forth, and that was the one that really helped me, because I think when he says it right there, that we think there's a right and a wrong, and there really isn't. You know, we're more like water. We're going to flow through the course that is, you know, in front of us. Mm-hmm. And so when you make that change, you're just altering the course of that water flowing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, I love that. I always, you know, I put it in that post really so I would have it available for me to reread and reread all the time. But yeah, change is hard, because it's hard to imagine what is next, but you don't know either way.
I love that. Thanks for that. And yeah, thank you for your, like I said, your honest and authentic way of sharing what you've learned with the world on Instagram and through your website. Like, I really appreciate when I come across people like you, and I think it helps me and it helps others to just connect more and realize everyone goes through their own personal journey in a different way, and there's no wrong way. And you have this support system online of people who feel the same way that you do. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. Yeah, I love that too. I think there are so many stories out there and so many different journeys, and what you realize is that yours is valid too. So I think it's important that we share, and you will find, you know, people who are just like you, who, you know, have gone through it or feel those things as well. And then that's really helpful.
Exactly. The second that you start to open up and are just honest about how you're feeling and what's going on in your life, you connect with so many people when you're not trying to live this, I don't know, this life that appears so perfect, and you're just you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not perfect.
And I think as women, it's hard for us to let go of that image and try to be perfect and trying to make all the right choices. And
yeah, for sure. And sometimes it's hard to also let it shine.
Yeah.
To show, you know, who you really are, to show the good things too. You know, sometimes as women, we kind of downplay a little bit in front of each other as well. So there's, you know, it can go both ways, but I think, yeah, those are the limiting beliefs, you know? So you just, you know, find something that works for you, find people that you can connect with, and realize that it's just a process. It's just a practice. It's not like someone is, you know, more enlightened or anything than anyone else. Mm-hmm. We're all just continuing to work on it. That's really all it is.
Yeah, for sure. So can you leave us with maybe your favorite meditation resource, or somewhere that people can go to get started or to learn more?
Yeah, I guess I can lead you to my teachers and mentors. So I learned my breath work from Aaron Telford and David Elliott. And so their sites, they have meditation downloads for the breath work meditation that I do. In terms of just, you know, a regular meditation practice, I would also look at Jillian Pransky. who's my restorative yoga teacher, and she does really great, grounding meditations, silent meditations, metta meditations that you can use for, you know, just being quiet and calming anxiety and just kind of letting go and stress, things like that. So those three are the ones that I look to for inspiration, for knowledge. And then I just put up a free MP3 download for a meditation on my site.
Mm-hmm, I saw that.
Yeah, so it's a 6-minute meditation, and it's just it's breath lengthening exercise. So just kind of lengthening your inhales, lengthening your exhales. And then we pause and we say a mantra and then, you know, breathe again. So it's a little different than the breath work I practice, but it is a pranayama meditation. And so that's great too, because it's free. And so you can just start to have a guided meditation. It's, you know, a similar one I do at the end of my gentle yoga classes. So it's nice sometimes to be guided in a meditation if you don't want to, you know, be on your own and thinking on your own.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's definitely a good way to start too.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you for being with us and for sharing your journey and for continuing to share with us online.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Amy. It's been really fun.
Yeah, it was great. So, Superwoman, after listening to today's episode, what limiting belief are you going to send packing? I would really love to hear about it. And to help you get in touch with the limiting beliefs and doubts that may be holding you back, make sure to head over to imeditatetheworld.com to download your free meditation on the theme of letting go. And if you'd like, you can also stick around for the next 5 minutes for a mini meditation to help you quiet your mind, relax, and just let go. Get into a comfortable position and gently close your eyes. Give yourself permission to nourish your body and mind, to just be in this moment. Take a deep breath in and slowly exhale. Breathe in and release. Breathe in and release. Now allow yourself to take over breathing naturally. Observe how your breath naturally rises and falls with each breath in and out. Keep your awareness on your breath. If thoughts come, let them come, and then gently let them go. Not following your thoughts, just a gentle acknowledgement, and then a letting go. Allow your body to soften and relax. Soften your forehead and your eyes. Relax your jaw and tongue. Release any tension in your shoulders, allowing them to soften and relax. Now let them drop even more. Bring that relaxation down your arms, hands, and fingers. Now relax your chest, your back, and stomach. Soften your hips, allowing them to relax and loosen. Relax your legs, calves, ankles, and feet. Repeat silently to yourself, I let go and enjoy the natural flow of this day, whatever it may bring. Breathe in, breathe out. Repeat silently to yourself, I am strong, calm, centered, and peaceful. Breathe in, breathe out. Repeat silently to yourself, nothing outside of me can change how I feel inside. I feel positive, confident, and empowered. Breathe in, breathe out. Spend as much time as you need in this moment. Let go and just be in the present moment.